यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरा यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावन जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद ठाकुर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल हरे कृष्ण ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम First Canto, Chapter 12th, Verse Number 7th. Matur garbha gato viraha Satada bhrugunandana Dadarsha purusham kanchid दह्यमानोऽत्र तेजस मातुर्गर्भगतो वीरः सतदा भृगुनंदना ददर्श पुरुषं कंचित दह्यमानोऽस्त्र तेजसा मातुर्गर्भगतो वीरः सतदा भृगुनंदना ददर्श पुरुषं कंचिद् दह्यमानोऽस्त्र तेजसा भृगुनंदना तदर्श पुरुषं कंचित दह्यमानोऽस्त्र तेजसा मातुर्गर्भगतो वीरः सतदा भृगुनंदना पुरुषं कंचे दह्यमानोऽस्त्र तेजसा मातुर्गर्भगतो वीरः सतदा भृगुनंदना ददर्श पुरुषं कंचे दह्यमानोऽस्त्र तेजसा माताजी नहीं भाई मातुः मदर गर्भ वूम्ब गतः बीइंग सिचुएटेड देयर वीरः द ग्रेट फाइटर सह चाइल्ड परीक्षित तदा एट दैट टाइम भृगुनंदन ओ सन ऑफ भृगु ददर्श कुर्सी पुरुषम द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कंचित एट समवन एल्स दह्यमानः सफरिंग फ्रॉम बीइंग बर्न्ड अस्त्र द ब्रह्मास्त्र तेजसा टेम्परेचर ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ट्रांसलेशन ओ सन ऑफ भृगु शौनक व्हेन द चाइल्ड परीक्षित द ग्रेट फाइटर वॉज इन द वूम्ब ऑफ हिज मदर उत्तरा and was suffering from the burning heat of the Brahmastra thrown by Ashwatthama, he could observe the Supreme Lord coming to him. Purport. Death generally involves remaining in trance for 7 months. A living being, according to his own action, is allowed to enter into the womb of a mother by vehicle of a father's semen, and thus he develops his desired body. This is the law of birth in specific bodies according to one's past actions. When he is awake from trance, he feels the inconvenience of being confined within the womb, and thus he wants to come out of it, and sometimes fortunately prays to the Lord for such liberation. Maharaj Parikshit, while in the womb of his mother, was struck by the Brahmastra released by Ashwatthama, and he was feeling the burning heat. But because he was a devotee of the Lord at once appeared himself within the womb by his all-powerful energy. And the child could see that someone else has come to see him. Even in that helpless condition, the child Parikshit endured the unbearable temperature due to his being a great fighter by nature. And for this reason, the word Viraha has been used. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो हमली टेक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल ग्रेट सोल्स असेंबल्ड हियर। सम ऑफ अवर ग्रेट टीचर्स आर हियर एज वेल, नॉट फीलिंग क्वालिफाइड टू सिट एंड स्पीक, बट द सेवा आई विल मेक अ हम्बल अटेम्प्ट। So it's very interesting the way the sages of Naimisharanya are coming or approaching to this verse. The questions have been asked about Parikshit Maharaj. The sages asked Suta Goswami, it's interesting the way Suta Goswami has approached to this verse. So the sages were asking question about Parikshit Maharaj, and they asked that tell us about his birth, tell us about how he was protected in the womb, and tell us about how he departed from this world. But Suta Goswami is not directly starting from Parikshit Maharaj. He first talks about Yudhishthir Maharaj, then he gives a reference of Pandu also in the previous verse. There's a verse which says, just like his father. So speaking about Pandu, then Yudhishthir Maharaj, and then he starts speaking about Parikshit Maharaj. So this is actually the refined way of Vedic culture, that whenever you want to speak about a great personality, you don't directly start from the person. You speak about the person's grandfather, then the person's father, and or in this case, the person's uncle, Yudhishthir Maharaj's uncle. Actually, granduncle. Not direct uncle also. And then he speaks about Parikshit Maharaj. That's the standard way of Vedic culture. There is that famous, Prabhuji must be knowing, that famous Danapatra written by Sambhaji Maharaj. And so whenever before he comes to his name, he speaks about his great-grandfather Maloji Raja, he speaks about Shahaji Raja, his grandfather, Shivaji Raja, his father, and then himself. Just as an offbeat point, on Sunday, Prabhuji gave a nice class. So this could be like a Vishyantar in that sense. But when Sambhaji Maharaj speaks about Shivaji Maharaj, the exact word he uses, because every person he uses an adjective. So the adjective which is used for Shivaji Maharaj is Mlechakshaya Dikshita. Mlechakshaya Dikshita. My father is a Mlechakshaya Dikshita. Means he has taken Diksha of eliminating the mlechas, like that. So anyway, that's his interpretation of his father. So, and then he talks about himself also like that. So anyway, so there's a fashion. And there is a reason why this particular sequence is followed. Because there is a quality which is there in the grandfather, which is there in the granduncle, And that quality is also there now going to manifest in this child. So what is that quality which is there in the grandfather? Very nicely mentioned here that in the previous verses that Yudhishthira Maharaj had so much of opulences that even demigods were sometimes, you know, feeling envious of his opulences. They were wanting to enjoy his opulences. So much of opulence he has. But it is said, but he was always so eager to serve Krishna that he was not satisfied by anything else except service to Krishna. That is how exactly the previous verse explains about him. And then this verse says, this great personality, Parikshit Maharaj, who's taking birth, and the way it is mentioned, the word Veera is used for Parikshit Maharaj here in the verse. Matur Garbhagato Veera. So at this point, the person is still Garbhagato only. He has not yet come out and done any great activity. He has not yet subdued Kali. He has not yet gone around the earth controlling the Kali Yuga. He has not done any of these wonderful activities. He is simply in the womb, not even taken birth, but already addressed as Veera. So Matur Garbhagato Veera. Why? Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, because the temperature of Brahmastra was so powerful, and even in the womb, Parikshit Maharaj is able to control that temperature. Right? He is able to control that temperature. And therefore he is addressed as Veera. So he is glorifying the quality of endurance, of tolerance. And in the earlier verse, he is glorifying the quality of service attitude, of attachment to Krishna. And then these two are being linked. So isn't it a very interesting aspect that the tolerance and the endurance exhibited by a devotee is always proportionate to the intensity of love that he has for the Supreme Lord. In fact, for any person who is showing any sort of tolerance in life, if that tolerance is based on the foundation of love and attachment, then that tolerance is actually very easily exhibited. And what sort of examples that we can see? We can see the mother and father, they keep on tolerating the child forever. You know, the child makes on so many mistakes again and again and again. But because the parents love, so the tolerance is automatically manifested. The great freedom fighters, they fight for the country and they take innumerable inconveniences. They tolerate them. Why? Because of the love for the country. So whenever the love is there, tolerance is automatically manifested. So therefore, in our own life also, when we introspect and we realize that there is a lot of lack of tolerance, I'm suddenly becoming angry, I'm suddenly becoming lusty, I'm suddenly becoming greedy, and I'm unable to tolerate these urges, right? Vishaheta dhira, right? That exact word which is used by Rupa Goswami. Right, etana vegana yo vishaheta dhira. A person who is able to tolerate these urges is actually called as dhira. So if I am not able to manifest this tolerance, then somewhere there is lacking in development of love. My love probably is not developed. And what sort of love is required to manifest the tolerance that is exhibited, that is actually explained in the previous verse? The exact word used is shudhitasya yathetare. Kshudhitasya yatha itare means the example is given that Yudhishthira Maharaj was not satisfied with the opulences, just like somebody who is hungry is not satisfied by anything else except food. Kshudhitasya yatha itare, just like there is something else you offer to the person, right? If you are greatly hungry and you go to any place and they offer you a mobile phone, or they offer you a nice smartwatch, you may always, but I'm hungry at this point. The urge of hunger is so powerful that anything else is offered to you, instead of respecting that person, mostly you will feel offended. And I'm hungry, why doesn't the person understand? As soon as the food comes. So that type of attachment to Krishna, that means not satisfied in anything else except service to Krishna. Just like a hungry man is not satisfied with anything else. When that type of strong attachment is there, then tolerance is simply a insignificant byproduct of that strong attachment. And that tolerance, when it is developed, strong tolerance, then amazing things can be manifested. And Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here that tolerance exhibited by Parikshit Maharaj is because he is a devotee of Krishna. And that brings us to the next interesting observation that is here. And actually I was referring to a lecture given by His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Swami Maharaj in Mayapur. And I'll make some points that he mentioned in the class. Very interesting. Sir, what are we actually seeing in this particular case? As Balaram Shakti Prabhu also, he raised this point, I think two days back. Said that what is guaranteed with Lord Krishna? So protection is guaranteed with Lord Krishna. But how he will protect you, that is not guaranteed. So here we are seeing that Parikshit Maharaj is protected by Krishna, but the heat and the temperature Parikshit Maharaj has to tolerate, that he has not removed. So Lord Krishna did not come to immediately make it like an AC hall within the womb and make it so comfortable that okay, nothing will happen. No. That temperature, that heat Parikshit Maharaj had to tolerate, but he protected also. Right? And Parikshit Maharaj could tolerate it because of his tolerance level. So many years back, I remember Gaurang Prabhu was speaking on a class here, and he said that Krishna exactly knows in which standard you are. And when Krishna puts the paper in front of you, it is exactly for that standard only. So he knows that this exam you will be able to pass. If you have worked hard, you will be able to pass, otherwise you will fail. And even if you fail, until you keep on passing, Krishna keeps on putting papers in front of you, you know, with a hope, someday he will pass. Maybe again he will pass. So Lord Krishna has unlimited patience. Similarly, Maya Devi also has unlimited patience. That is one thing about when we speak of Maya Devi as an enemy. Now, many times what happens is that the tactic of the war is that when the enemy is there, when the enemy is immediately there, then you have to be very alert and very careful. And then after the enemy goes, then you can be relaxed and you can again prepare for the war next time or something like that. The problem is that the enemy, if you treat Maya Devi as a somebody who is testing your devotion, in that sense enemy, the Maya Devi has unlimited patience. And she keeps on waiting for the right time that you are most weak. And that time only the attack will happen. Nikatastha Maya Thare Jhapatiya Dhare. So Krishna has unlimited patience. And he keeps on testing his devotees through Maya Devi. But although it is Maya Devi, you don't have to be worried that, you know, you will get a, if you are on 10th standard, you don't have to be worried that you will get a PhD level paper to clear. No. You will be offered a 10th standard paper only to clear. You pass it, you may pass it or fail it. You pass it, then next time you will get 11th standard paper. Then next time you will get 12th standard paper. So Parikshit Maharaj, a very serious, maybe PhD level paper he is giving. He got this entire heat in the womb, but he was able to tolerate. He could clear that paper. But what is the important message that we have to learn from here? So Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj was saying that devotees sometimes have, sadhakas, not devotee, devotee is not the right word. A sadhaka or people in this world, they have two types of bhram or two types of confusion. He said one is called as a Vaikuntha bhram and one is called as a Ananda bhram. Like that. So what is Vaikuntha bhram? Vaikuntha bhram means if something is going on nicely, it will always keep on going nicely like this. So there is no problem. It will just continue. Ananda bhram means the happiness will always be there in my life. I'll always experience happiness in my life. Always be happy. Happiness will always come. So just like they say in the fairy tales, they lived happily ever after. So happily is Ananda bhram. And ever after is Vaikuntha bhram. So that never happens. Nobody lives happily ever after. Right? As a soul, you keep on living. But as a conditioned soul, the death has to happen. And as a conditioned soul, misery also has to come. So this Vaikuntha bhram and Ananda bhram is always there in the life of devotee. I remember few years back, or maybe it was last year only, when we had the Krishna fest, Janmashtami was last year. So there was an interview of one devotee, and that person in the interview suddenly said, you know, the person said that, so I do all these things. So the interviewer was asking that, how are you actually always happy in the life? How are you able to cope up? So the person went on explaining the daily schedule and everything. And then he said, and then I chant also Hare Krishna. And I offer food also. And that takes care of the karma part. So the person said like that. You know, and that takes care of the karma part. Indicating that as long as you are chanting Hare Krishna and you are offering food, the misery will not come to you because the karma is taken care of. Because whatever the prarabdha karma was there, the prarabdha karma is already burnt because of chanting the holy names. And the current karma which is there, that I am not incurring because I am offering food to Krishna. So how am I incurring bad karma, right? So there is no past bad karma, there is no present bad karma. So my life is happily ever after. Is it wrong? Is it something wrong? No, this is correct. But the equation is not in our hand. The equation is in Krishna's hand. That is the main thing that we have to learn. And again, sorry Prabhuji, I am quoting you, but Balaram Shakti Prabhu gave a very wonderful example. How to understand this point. And we can actually understand how the karma works on devotee with this example very well. So just imagine for a minute that you are a good for nothing person staying in Mumbai city. And there is practically nothing that you have. All that you have is a nice house. And now you need money because you are good for nothing, so you have not earned anything. But for daily survival you need some money. So you look for a nice rich man who is willing to buy your house. Okay. So you find that person, then you put a proposal in front of the man. Said, okay. Said, I will buy your house. Yeah. I will sell my house to you. You give me that whole lot of money, 1 crore, 1.5 crore, whatever. Then I'll keep on paying you some rent regularly, but you allow me to stay in the same house. Right? So person says, yes, tathastu. You know, I'll buy the house from you, I'll give you that 1.5 crores, so you have money, and then you can keep on paying me some rent, small rent. Even if you're in Mira Road nowadays, you can sell the property for 1.5 crores very easily. And the rent is hardly 16,000, 15,000 rupees. So you can comfortably stay. Yes. Just you can invest that money in fixed deposit and you can keep getting interest which is more than 15,000. So you go to a person, the person agrees for this deal, and then you start staying in that house. Then you say, now the house is the person's property now, right? So then you come to the house and say, oh, I want to throw out this chair. You know, this is not. Person says, no. Now the house is mine. This chair will remain here. Then you may say, but aisa karo na sir, thoda painting karke le lo. You know, ghar achha renovation karke le lo. Let's paint the house. The person says, it's my house. I will renovate it. I will throw certain furniture out if you want. I will bring some new furniture. Or I will do whatever you want. It's my house. I will treat it the way you want. So he may throw certain furniture. So, arre, isko mat feko. This is my watch. This watch was there right from my childhood. This is my most cherished asset of my life. Thrown away. I don't need it. So I'm throwing it away. Right? So similarly, when a devotee goes in front of Krishna, it's like going a useless person going in front of a rich man. And you know, somewhere you have heard this, tava asmi iti yachate, and all that. So you also go in front of Krishna and say, Krishna, tava asmi. Acha, tava asmi, ho gaya. So the deal has taken place now. And Krishna says, okay, abhayam sarvada. He has given you that abhayam. You don't understand what's happening, right? You went to Krishna, the deal has taken place. Now, your life has become Krishna's property. Right? So, manaso deho geho jo kishumur. There are different ways of saying it. You may say tava asmi iti yachate, or you may say manaso deho geho jo kichumur, or you can sit here in Brahmotsav and sing Gopinath prayer with lot of intensity. You know, all that. So the deal is taking place. You are not realizing it, right? Now Krishna has become the property, the sole proprietor of your life. Now which karma to throw away and which karma to keep, that is his choice. He will take a call. He will decide what to do and what not to do. Therefore, sometimes you may say, Krishna, why this particular karma is still troubling me? Because I have still kept it. But you throw it, it's your house, throw it away. Krishna will say, no, I have put it on OLX. Whenever the buyer comes, it will go. But till then, you have to tolerate it. So it's like that. So some karma will stay with you, therefore sometimes you may go to astrologer, and he may see your kundli and say, "Arey, aisa aisa aapke life mein hona hi nahi chahiye." But ho raha hai. Why? Because that new furniture has come. You don't know what is that furniture that has come. Right? So, and you may say, you may want a particular, let's say you like a particular girl, and the girl also likes you. And all of a sudden the marriage is broken. I have seen this happening with devotees. And you go to Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's all set. Because I threw the furniture away. I threw that furniture away. Because I realized that it's not good for you. And sometimes you may say, I want a particular car, I want a particular job. And everything was good, my qualification is best. I stay in the same city as this company. And I cleared all rounds of interview. The last round is stuck. My job is not coming because Krishna threw that furniture away. So, and certain things may suddenly happen to you and you don't realize, why is it happening to me? So Krishna has taken part of our life. So the equation is in Krishna's hands. The karma equation definitely works, but when it will work and how it will work, it is not in our hands. It is in Krishna's hands. Therefore, what do devotees do? And what do Pandavas are really great? Because if you take that equation, for example, a pure devotee is free from all karmas, then what is happening to Parikshit Maharaj here? He is already a great devotee, but he has to face the heat of Brahmastra. And then you can take all the lives of Pandavas. You know, here we are talking about demigods being envious of the opulences of Yudhishthira Maharaj. But read Mahabharata, where do you see Yudhishthira Maharaj being like a king and always enjoying opulences? No, everything is happening nicely. But Pandavas, if Mahabharata is full of simply miseries after miseries, miseries after miseries faced by Pandavas. And in fact, Kunti Maharani at the end says that let the miseries come again and again. So the whole life is simply miseries. But what is the difference? Why is it happening in Pandava's life like this? Why is it happening in Parikshit Maharaj's life this? Because Krishna wants to tell us something. What is it that Krishna wants to tell us? Let's try to understand through a few examples. First, one of the first misery that came in Pandava's life, when they were really very small, the father passed away. In a mystical way, the father passed away. As a obvious reaction to that incident, both Kunti and Madri, they wanted to immediately enter into fire. Right? They both wanted to go sati. That was the obvious reaction. And then ultimately, Madri was able to convince Kunti Devi, that you are more matured and more capable of handling children. So you stay and I will enter into fire. And then that time Madri entered into the fire. She went sati. So what happened to Kunti? So as devotees we understand that she also entered into fire. Because taking care of 5 children without husband was not a less fire in its own. In fact, it was a much more difficult fire than the fire of funeral pyre. But she chose to enter into that fire. Right? Why? Because first, when the husband immediately passed, there was a reaction. That behavior was a reaction. But then there was a thoughtful action that followed that reaction. And that thoughtful action was not a reaction, that was a response. So in our life, we are always put in situations where there are 2 choices in front of you. You can either react or you can respond. What is the difference between reaction and response? The reaction is prakritic. It is based on natural instinct. A response is sanskritic. It is based on culture that you have gone through, that you are trained. That's the difference. And a devotee always chooses to respond. When the right situation comes, always choose. And you can see so many examples like this. The best example, which I believe Radhika Vallabh Prabhu also quoted, that comes in the life of Pandavas, is the episode of Yaksha Prashna. So, just to tell that story in brief. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, the Pandavas, they were actually in the forest. And this was the Vanvas period going on. And the punishment given to Pandavas was 13 years of Vanvas and 1 period of Agyatvas. And it was the end of the Vanvas period. And they were not understanding how to start this Agyatvas, where to go. Because the spy network of Duryodhana was so great. There was no question that they won't be recognized. So what is Agyatvas? Agyatvas means if you are found out, if anyone finds out that you are Pandavas, then you have to repeat the entire 13 years of vanvas once again. So that's very risky. So the Pandavas were thinking, abhi kaha jayenge? Where to go? Because Duryodhan and the entire network that he had all over the India, many kings were his mandalik already. So it was very difficult to make a choice what to do. So there were, just as we were thinking about it and discussing what to do and what not to do, you know, a Brahmana came there rushing. And the Brahmana said that a deer has come and the deer has stolen my arani wood and deer has stolen my achman and other paraphernalia of my yajna. Please go and find the deer. So immediately they reacted to the situation, right? They immediately, Pandavas got up. They said, okay, let's go and find that deer. This is very peculiar about the Vedic period. So in Vedic period, there is not too much of questioning that is done when a person is in misery. Like suppose right now, if you go to police station and say, "Arey, mera phone chori ho gaya." So, kahan pe the? Phone kahan pe tha? Tum kahan pe the? Fir phone ka color kaun sa hai? Aur ye kaun sa hai? So many questions. Arey, mera phone chori ho gaya. Go and do something about it. But you have to first keep on asking questions. So Kshatriyas those times would not like interrogations. Of course, now the system is there like that, we have to follow. People cannot just react. But I'm just saying, the Kshatriyas, so they did not keep asking, oh, kaun sa deer tha, kaun sa color ka tha, achman patra tambe ka tha ya pitale ka tha, you know, no questions asked. They said, okay, deer has come and taken the arni. Immediately got up and started, we don't even know where the deer has gone. Approximate directions. All Pandavas started wearing in that, chasing in that direction. And it somehow happened that they could not get the deer and they felt so tired and so thirsty. In that situation, then the deer was gone and they did not understand what to do. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, just go and find out if there is some water close by. So some Pandavas went, they found water. So the natural thing was, go back and inform that there is water resource here, please come. But there was so much of thirst as a reactiveness. The Pandavas, first it was Nakul and Sahadeva, I believe, Nakul. And then he was just about to drink the water and an unembodied voice spoke. Please first answer my questions. This entire pond is guarded by me. You can only drink water after you answer my question. He said, gaya bhaad mein. The water belongs to everybody here. Who are you to say this water is my property? Water is Krishna's property. Now that is not wrong. That is right. It was right, but at that situation it was wrong. So he took the water, drank it, and immediately died. And then all the other brothers came. Arjuna came, Bhima came. Obviously, they also followed the suit. They tried to drink the water. Yudhishthira Maharaj came, finally. He also found that pond of water. And he saw, to his shock, his brothers almost lying there dead. And then, now he did not understand why they are lying dead. Maybe they became so thirsty, that's why they are lying dead. So, let me first drink the water, then I'll feed the water to all of them. Then I'll bring them back to life. So he went to drink water. So now imagine at that point of time, he's extremely thirsty. The water is there in front. His brothers are dead in a very, very terrible situation. You cannot imagine. And you cannot imagine the bond that Pandavas had with them, the love that Pandavas had with them. There are so many occasions where Bhima, in the entire 14 years of Vanvas, that you will see that Bhima has been, you know, openly telling Yudhishthira Maharaj that all happened because of you and all these things. But they don't leave each other. The bond is so strong. So can you imagine the kind of melancholy that he must have gone through when he saw his brothers dead? He said, okay, let me first have this water, then I'll give water to my brothers, bring them back to life. As he went to drink water, again the voice spoke, no, first answer all my questions, then you can drink. So he could have also reacted. And he could have said, he could have stayed at Dharma, but no, he said, okay, fine, ask your questions. He of course asked, who are you? He said, you know, I am a yaksha guarding this place. And asked him. Then he went on asking questions. And various questions were asked. Yudhishthira Maharaj answered all of them wonderfully. At the end, there was this final question. So the yaksha was completely happy with all the answers given by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Right? Completely happy. So he said, I am very happy. You can make your brothers alive, but only one. Only one brother you can make alive. You tell me which brother you want to make me alive. Now this was the real tough question. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj had the answer. You all know what is the answer. I'm just repeating it for my purification. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, please bring back Nakula or Sahadeva. one of them back to life. So then Yaksha asks, why? Why Nakula and Sahadeva? Now there could have been many right answers to this question. There could have been many right answers. He could have said that, because for Nakula and Sahadeva are responsible for the maintaining the Ashwashala, and horses are most important in a battlefield, so they should come back to life. That could have been a valid answer. Or he could have said that they are my youngest brothers, I am the eldest, so therefore they should bring back to life. There could have been many right answers. The answer which Yudhishthira Maharaj gave was something which even the Yaksha was blown off. Right? So this is a classic case of question within the syllabus but answer out of syllabus. You know, it was an out of syllabus answer. He did not expect Yudhishthira Maharaj to give an answer like that. So what Yudhishthira Maharaj said? He said, me, Arjun and Bhima are the sons of Kunti, and Nakula and Sahadeva are sons of Madri. One son of Kunti is already alive. Let one son of Madri be also alive. That will be justice to my mother. What a thought. And this is what he's thinking when he's hungry, he's thirsty, he's tired, he's already answered all the questions. That time he has this type of vivek. He has this type of intelligence to answer that question. Yaksha was completely blown off by this answer. He says, wow. You know, sometimes this type of answers, people give an answer which is out of syllabus. Just to give a small example of something which I saw like this, an interviewer becoming completely shocked by the answer. Just a few years back, there was an arranged interview of the great actor Akshay Kumar taking interview of Narendra Modi. Right? I don't know how many of you saw that interview. Very interesting interview. And you know, typically when people take interviews, you already get a list of questions. Right? So the list of questions were given to Narendra Modi, but the list of answers are not given to the interviewer. Right? So the question asked, he very nicely asked a question. So Akshay Kumar asked Narendra Modi ji, he said, if you have been given a chance to take three benedictions of Aladdin, that Chirag is there, that Aladdin Chirag is there, that Chirag is there brought in front of you, and you can ask for any three benedictions, what benediction will you ask? Right? This is a tough question, but within the syllabus. But the answer was out of syllabus. Right? He said, my first blessing that I will ask is that you remove this Aladdin and the blessing story from all the books. Let people know that there is nothing like this Aladdin and blessings of just by wiping the lamp, you don't get any blessings. Of course, if you wipe lamps of Lord Krishna here, you will get a lot of blessings. But by just wiping some lamp, you don't get any blessings. You have to work hard. And you have to earn those blessings by your seva. That was the answer that he gave. And you could see from the face of Akshay Kumar, he was not prepared for that answer. KK answer diya. Story ko hi nikal do bola sari book se. He said, remove the story. I don't want this Aladdin story at all. And this Jadu Chirag. There's nothing like Jadu Chirag. Right? The Chirag is there in the heart. Is there. Right? You need to take the light from that Chirag. It's there in the form of bhakti. Right? The small lamp. But it's there. And you manifest seva and then you'll get unlimited blessings. Blessings come by seva and not by wiping lamps, unless they are lamps of Radha Gopinathji or some temple. So that's out of syllabus answer, right? This is known as response. And again, we see even on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna saw all his relatives present in front of him, initially there was a reaction that, oh, how will I fight like this? So he actually, his throat dried, and then, you know, he went into all those symptoms. Of course, these are external. But there was a reaction. And then Lord Krishna spoke to him very well. And then he responded. Nashto moha smutir labdhva, tvat prasadat maya achyuta. Asthitosmi gata sandeha karishya vachan. That was his response. So, Pandavas do go through, at times, the phases of reaction. But ultimately, they learn how to respond. And this is what Parikshit Maharaj is doing here in the womb. What is Parikshit Maharaj doing in the womb? Parikshit Maharaj is actually being attacked by fire of Brahmastra. But Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully translates here in the purport What is he translating? Prabhupada, the word is used is dadarsha. But Prabhupada is translating in the purport as he observed. So as he was being attacked by this fire, he was simply absorbed in observing Lord Krishna. His beauty, his protection. He is not worried about the fire. He is not worried about the fire consuming him. But he is simply enjoying. I was recently hearing one lecture of His Holiness Adana Swami Maharaj. And he said that when they were living in New Vrindavan, it was like the fire of Brahmastra only, everywhere. He said it was so austere that the food that devotees used to eat, that was the same food which horses used to eat. So horse and devotee, same food. Right? And it was so cold. And he said somebody like the wife of temple president had two saris or three saris. I mean, that was the level. If you are any other woman apart from wife or temple, you probably have only one sari or two saris. That's it. And that's how you have to manage. And he said, as regards our dhotis and shawls, they used to be like torn, sometimes stitched somewhere and smelling with cow dung sometimes, you know, all this type of thing. Absolutely like fire of Brahmastra. But he said, but when devotees would go in front of the deities, they would be waiting for Govinda Madhipurusham. And the curtains would open. And devotees would literally watch deities with their mouth dropped, with their jaws dropped. That beauty, that elegance. And he said, devotees would keep looking at Krishna, keep observing Krishna in that fire of Brahmastra. Just like, you know, what is this? Who is this personality? He has appeared like this. And they would observe Krishna. They would observe each and every detail of Krishna's dress. So if you ask a devotee, you know, can you draw the nakshi of today's dress like that? And today I did this seva, but I don't remember that nakshi right now. You ask me on this particular shawl, what is the exact nakshi? Please draw it on the paper. I'll not be able to draw. Because there is no sufficient observation of Krishna. Because there is no that fire, no. In that fire, that kshudha is there, you know, that previous verse. Kshuditasya yatha itare. That type of hunger is there. Then you will keep on observing every nook and corner. And Maharaj was saying, Radhanath Maharaj was saying, that each and every devotee knew each and every dress. And which day it was sponsored, which day it was stitched, who sponsored it, what is the color of the dress. He said, to this day I remember the 1974 Gopashtami dress, or 1972 Janmashtami, or you know, somebody else's marriage. This devotee's marriage took place and that dress was given. Everyone knows everything about all the dresses. Right? This is what Parikshit Maharaj is doing. Even in the midst of misery, he is peacefully observing Lord Krishna. Right? And it is coming in the dynasty. Kunti Maharani is able to do it. Yudhishthira Maharaj is able to do it. And now, this personality is also able to do it. Right? So that's the entire parampara. And that's why it is being glorified here. Right? So a devotee always knows how to respond. He doesn't react, but he responds. And then that brings us to the next question, that if Krishna consciousness doesn't bring you happiness, then what else brings you happiness? Because that's what we discussed, right? There is no guarantee of when and how the happiness and this will come. But then there are so many verses glorifying happiness of Krishna consciousness. It is said, Kevala Ananda Kanda, right? Or susukham kartum avyayam. There are so many verses like this which say that Krishna consciousness gives you a lot of happiness. So what is it that actually Krishna consciousness gives? Does it give happiness? Krishna consciousness actually gives you something which is far, far, far superior than happiness. It is sometimes alternatively used, the word used is happiness, but actually it gives you something which is far superior than happiness. And that is called as satisfaction. Samadhan. That nothing else gives. Like Radhika Vallabh Prabhu also was talking the other day, right? He gave the example that how Chakre Satvata Samhitam, he used that verse. Why is this Chakre word is used? So he mentioned that the Chakre is actually the Atmanepadi Pratyaya of this particular verb. And why Atmanepadi is used here? So any activity which is done for the benefit of others is generally, there are verbs are called parasmaipadi. But activity which is best for your own benefit, your own satisfaction, there you have Hare Krishna Prabhuji. From Varanasi, he is coming. Very good. So, this is the parasmaya pradi, atmane pradi pratya. So, just like in Bhagavad Gita also, we see, bhajate mam ananya bhak. So, bhajate is not bhajati mam ananya. Bhajati is a parasmaya pradi pratya. But bhajate is atmane pradi. Why? Because actually when you do bhajan, it is for your satisfaction. Yes, we know it's for Krishna's satisfaction, but it's your satisfaction also. Right? Similarly, yajate also. So all these verbs are actually used as atmanepadi. So chakre is atmanepadi, which means that Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam essentially for his own satisfaction. But because the entire service was for the benefit of humanity, automatically it became for the benefit of humanity. Similarly, you know, when we study Bhagavatam, we don't study Bhagavatam only for giving class. That could be a seva that you have to do. But Bhagavatam has to be actually read for your own nourishment. It's a atmane pradi facility. It has to be read as my own nourishment. I want to read Bhagavatam because it's for me. It's for my sake. In fact, in Krishna consciousness, most of the things devotees should learn to do because I want to do it. Because otherwise, you know, why are you chanting? Because scriptures say like that. Because he said like that. No, I am chanting because I want to chant. Then nobody can argue with you. Right? You understand what I'm saying? I am chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra because I want to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Not Arya Maine Tabhi Shapat Liya Hai Bhagwan Ke Samne, Guru Ke Samne Shapat Liya Hai Sola Mala. That those type of things will not be able to help you for a long time. I am doing because I want to do it. Because that is the right thing to do. Because I have learned from my Guru, I have learned from Krishna that is the right thing to do. Therefore, I want to do it. Why you want to go to temple? Oh, because Bhagavatam says that legs should be utilized for going to temple. Otherwise, they are like pillars or whatever. So they will say Bhagavatam is bogus. Then what will you say? Use the scriptures. Then what will you say? No, I am going to temple because I want to go. Because that is the right thing to do. So, I mean, this is just one perspective. This is not a siddhantic statement which I am making. But we should actually have that confidence level. Why I am giving Bhagavatam class, of course. Here I should not say because I want to give Bhagavatam class. Yeah, because it's a service. But I need to do that service. Whether I am willing to do it or I am not willing to do it. I mean, believe me, every time this request comes that, Prabhuji, please send your name. It's like, oh my God. But it's a service. I am doing it because my Guru Maharaj asked me to do this service. I want to do this service. That service is something that I want to do. That seva, because that is my Janma Siddha Adhikar. That's what I want to do. So if we have this understanding, right, then there is nothing like, oh, because he is saying, that person is saying. No, because we should do it. Why? Because I know that it gives me satisfaction. And there is nothing else that will give me satisfaction. That is Samadhan. There's a nice abhanga of Tukaram, which I want to just read. He says, Chitta Samadhana Tari Vishavate Sona. He says, Chitta Samadhana Tari Vishavate Sona. He says that when there is Samadhan in the heart, satisfaction in the heart, even gold, Sona is like wish. Right? So those of you who have seen that movie of Tukaram Maharaj, that is a scene that the soldiers of Shivaji Maharaj, they come and they give a lot of gold and clothes and everything. And that lady wears it. And Tukaram Maharaj comes there. And she is just beautifully dressed with all the ornaments. And Tukaram Maharaj looks at her and says, Hey, Vishe, Sodunde. It's like that, you know. And you also surprised that how can he say like this? Because Chitta Samadha. Because there is so much of satisfaction in the heart. And then when she takes out all that jewelry and everything, then he says, Ata kashi chhan diste, like that. No. So it's very nice. It's really worth watching. You know. So now you are looking very beautiful. Why? Because now you are adorned by the ornament of satisfaction. That is the greatest ornament. The satisfaction is the ornament. So that satisfaction, samadhan, and that happiness which comes from samadhan, Because happiness, simple term, that will go away. But happiness which comes from satisfaction, that is the thing called Brahma Saukhyam to Anantam. Right? So Bhagavatam says that this is Brahma Saukhya. That satisfaction is Brahma Saukhya. And the satisfaction has tremendous power in bhakti. So a person who is, how do you define a person, whether he is Krishna conscious or not, is the level of the person's satisfaction. So that is the introspection that we should all do, that am I actually satisfied in my life? And then we should also do this introspection, that am I being able to tolerate, is there sufficient endurance in my life? If endurance is not there, that means I am not developing love. The loss of love. And what type of love? A love of a hungry person for food. That type of love. Right? And when, even after developing that love, there is no guarantee that everything will be nice in your life, because the equations are in Krishna's hands. They are not in our hands. Krishna may decide which furniture to throw away and which furniture to keep. But then what am I supposed to do in my life? I am supposed to ultimately strive for samadhan. How does one get that samadhan? That is, as yesterday I think Nityananda Prabhu was saying, or I don't remember, Prabhu only was saying that actually Bhishma Pitama, when he met the Pandavas, he actually told them that you deserve to die. I mean, there were so many sufferings in your life that came that you actually deserve to die because of that situation. But what did you do? You did Vipra Dharma Achyutashraya. You always kept on doing these things, taking shelter of these three things, Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta. Because you always kept taking shelter of these things, you may not have become rich. You may not even have become very famous. You may have suffered, but there was samadhan. There is satisfaction. So when, and these things are spoken in different ways by different acharyas. The Bhishma Pitama says Vipra Dharma Achyuta Shreya. Our Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaishnav acharyas say, they say Nama Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva and Jeev Daya. Right? It's essentially, you know, you have to do the same three things. And then the Vartaman acharyas like Radhana Swami Maharaj and other, they say earn with integrity and spend with compassion. Right? Essentially the same thing. Vipra Dharma Achyuta Shreya. Because unless there is dharma ashraya, how will you earn with integrity? You have to understand what is dharma, right? And unless there is jivdaya, why will you spend with compassion? So like that. So ultimately the same thing, but either you can call it as vipra dharma achyuta ashraya, or you can call it as nam ruchi jivdaya vaishnav seva, or you can call it as earning with integrity and spending with compassion. But if you do any of these, whichever appeals your consciousness and understanding, ultimately there will be samadhan in the life. Chitte samadhana tari vishavate sona. That is the something that we want to achieve in our life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kantara Srimad. Any questions? Hare Baba. Comments? You want this one?
Hare Krishna. So see, actually this was in my mind since long, but since you spoke it, I am just asking it has, about this samadhan, which you spoke in the end. So, it's very grey area, I feel. Means, like, there, devotees means there are wide range of devotees. So, is the samadhan leads to a bit inactivity or less activity in Krishna consciousness? So, like sometimes some duties are not very enthusiastic. In the sense they are doing their seva and basic, and some duties are very enthusiastic with respect to book discussion or Harinam Kirtan or deity dressing, whatever it may be. And some duties are not. So exactly, like samadhan, is it related to external activity? Somebody may be very active and not samadhani, somebody may be samadhani and somebody is thinking because of his so satisfied he is doing less seva. So how to exactly relate or not relate between the two?
I'm not the right person to answer the question. I sometimes tend to be on the samadhani side. That means lazy, basically. And I don't know. I will say what I know, then others can actually answer better. My understanding is, this is a specific samadhan coming from seva. It is connected to seva. So unless you do seva, the samadhan doesn't come. And after the samadhan comes, there is such a strong sense of gratefulness that gratefulness simply induces you to do even more seva. It's just natural. It should actually happen like that, automatically. I have to give you a personal example. But few days back, I was in Govardhan Eco Village. And then there was this one person, I met him. And he is in charge of that electrical connections, that devotee. You may know his name, I don't remember his name. He's initiated devotee. He, his wife, his children, they all stay there. And because I have an electric car, so I wanted to charge, so I went to him. So he said, he helped me to charge and all that. And then he was just like so happy and so grateful and everything. As if he knows me from a long time. And I was thinking, from his language and words, I could make out he's either a Bengali or a Uriya person. He's definitely not Maharashtrian or not from Radha Gopina congregation. And suddenly said, Prabhuji, you should have just said, I would have done anything. So why? He said, I have become Krishna conscious listening to you only. And I was like, me? I don't speak Odia, I don't speak Bengali, any of these things. And you said, he said, no, whenever there used to be Sunday feast programs of Radhanath Swami Maharaj in temple, you used to translate them in Hindi. And I used to hear those Hindi translations. And listening to the Hindi translations, I became devotee. And now he's initiated. His whole family is settled in JJV. And let me confess it to you, translating lecture in Hindi is the worst service from my perspective that I have, my consciousness, you know. As per my consciousness, I would always run away from the service. Translation karna hai, main pehle bhagta hu wahan se. Are, mere ko, I also want to hear, no. But when I saw this person, his whole life changed because of Hindi translation. So what type of emotion came in my heart? I said that now I'm so grateful. If somebody asks me to translate again, I will never say no. If it is changing someone's life to such an extent, right? Why should I say no? Keep on doing the seva again. What is the problem? So I became first very satisfied that my some seva somewhere that was actually troubling me so much in my consciousness is actually resulting in somebody deciding to dedicate his life fully for Krishna. It's unimaginable even to this day for me that how something which I never liked for someone made the, you know, full change in this person's life is inconceivable. So you never know how Krishna is going to pick you up and put you in a situation, and that samadhan then turns into gratefulness, and then you simply want to serve even more, because then why not to become even more samadhani? Therefore, bhakti, our Rupa Goswami called it as bhakti rasamruta sindhu. That means it's an ocean. That means you are never satisfied. You go in this much water, you feel, wow, there is so much of happiness, let me go inside more. And in swimming, there is so much of happiness, what if I do underground diving? And if I do underground diving, happiness, then what if I actually go down and I find the pearls and jewels, how much more happiness? So then, and the problem with the ocean of bhakti is that you actually never reach that bottom. You think that you will reach the bottom, and then you keep on going down and down and down and down, you never reach the bottom. So, if you are just satisfied being at the ocean, then you would lose the experience of going in the bottom. So, satisfaction leads to further seva and further, it's a chain reaction. And it automatically happens. Actually, naturally happens. I think it naturally happens. I don't have to intellectually make an adjustment and do it. It just happens naturally. But maybe others can give a better answer. Please. Sorry, Prabhu, you already know everything. I don't know why you even asked me. Madan Gopa Prabhu is the epitome of satisfaction. Those who know him in his personal life. And I know how much I am struggling in my devotional service. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.